The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 22nd, 2015 in Melbourne, Australia.
So tonight we have questions and answers on the transcendental subject matter of Krishna consciousness. The first question is how to go deep into the Mahamantra. This is called meditation. To concentrate very intensely on something which is transcendental to this material existence. Concentrate very intensely. That's how you go deep into the Mahamantra. Concentrate on it with great intensity. Just imagine a laser beam. It's light. But it's light that's focused so intensely it'll burn through metal. So you have to learn how to make your mind like a laser that you can burn through lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. You can really burn through all of them by your intense absorption in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Can you please enlighten us on the importance of devotee association? It's a matter of life and death. Sangat sanjayate karma. Krishna says, one's consciousness is developed according to the company that you keep. Try to understand, no man is an island. Just like the birds flock together, human beings also naturally flock together. So you have to pick the right flock. Otherwise you're dead. You have to associate with transcendentalists, otherwise you're finished. You're going down to the animal kingdom in your next birth. How can we serve you the best? Well, my ambition is to spread Krishna consciousness, because that's what Prabhupada ordered us to do. He said, you become guru and you deliver the whole world. So the best service you can do for a devotee is to preach, to make people Krishna conscious, transform this material society into a Vaishnava society. That's absolutely the best service that one can do. Preach Krishna consciousness. And it also means to, this temple is a preaching activity, so serve this temple. Make it more and more wonderful by doing whatever service is required here. Cleaning, donating money, whatever you can do to make this temple a grand success. That will be the best service. What are the 12 types of relationships? Actually, there's 5 types of relationships. 5 primary, and there are also the secondary rasas. The secondaries are chivalry, anger. There's different secondary rasas, but they are not the actual relationships. They are spices to enhance the 5 primary rasas. There's only 5 primary relationships, only 5 relationships. And the other things are added, just like when you cook a prep, you put the spices in. They spice up the 5 primary rasas. The secondary rasas are not the actual base relationships, but they are added to the 5 different types of relationships to enhance them and make them more interesting and sweeter. Does Krishna have sex? Oh my God. No, Krishna is not a dog having sex. In the Rasa Leela, there's no such thing as pregnancy or abortion. Can a devotee have a physical relationship with Krishna? This is gross. This is horrible question. Krishna doesn't have a physical relationship, so-called physical relationship with anybody in the spiritual world. He did have queens. I mean, on the earthly plane, yes, he did have queens. And he did have children. But that's in the here in the material world. Not that Krishna... Sex life is, practically speaking, non-existent in the spiritual realm. The sexual gross sex act. Although, on the male-female relationship, the loving relationship between man and woman is there in between Radha and Krishna. That's where it begins. It is called Adi Rasa. But it's not based on like people having sex here in this material world. It has nothing to do with that. How can we test reality? That's an interesting question. How can we test reality? Well, my book, Truth Works, answers that question. The title of the book answers the question. If something is true, it works. It's like when I was in high school where they told us H2O equals water. So how do you know it's true? Because you do it and it works. So you can test the reality of Krishna consciousness by seriously practicing it and judging by the result. But you have to follow it according to the prescription. Saying, well, I tested your recipe for banana bread and it came out like goo at the end. So your recipe was no good, Prabhu. We could argue. But you didn't follow the recipe strictly. You left out the baking powder. So to test Krishna consciousness, the legitimacy of it, you have to follow it exactly as Prabhupada teaches it in his books. You can't make your own concocted version of Krishna consciousness that suits your material senses and say, you know, I tried it, but it doesn't work. You didn't really try it. You tried your own mental concoction. If you really want to test the reality of Krishna consciousness, then you have to follow it precisely as Prabhupada teaches it in his books. And then you can test it. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll be absolutely amazed at the new dimensions of consciousness that open up within your heart. Where you will go in your consciousness will absolutely amaze you beyond your wildest imagination. How do you regain the association of devotees if you lose it? By being humble and being, if you've made offenses, being very apologetic. Oh, in the sense that you move from a country or low, you go to a different place. Well, then, if there's no devotees, it's like somebody wrote me an email, one of my students, he's got a job in Bowling Green, Kentucky, I think is the state, in the U.S. He said, there's no devotees here. What am I going to do? I said, make devotees. See, Papa didn't have any devotees association when he came to America. He made devotees. So there's no devotees, make devotees. Make your association. How can I improve my chanting Hare Krishna mantra? By avoiding the 10 offenses. Study what the 10 offenses are and strictly avoid them. What is the first one and the granddaddy of them all? To be offensive towards Vaishnavas. If you can learn how to have a proper, respectful attitude for every single devotee, your chanting will take off like a rocket. Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam chiye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So are you devoted to the devotees? Or do you think, yeah, those jerks? Are you devoted to the devotees? You better be, otherwise you're never going to connect with Krishna. Krishna says you can only be a devotee of me to the extent that you're the devotee of my devotees. So learn how to become devoted to the devotees. Absolutely essential. If you do that, your chanting will become so sweet. Krishna will manifest for you every time you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You doing some selecting there, Deviji? Cream of the crop? Okay. The sensor board here. All the nonsense, frivolous questions are being weeded out. What is the easiest path of attaining salvation? That is Lord Chaitanya's movement. Chanting and dancing and feasting. What could be more sublime? Everyone likes to go to a party. Everyone likes to go to a feast. Well, join the ultimate party. We party like anything here. That's all we do is party. Join the Sankirtan party. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. That's the easiest way in this age. Come saved. What is the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books? What if I only attend the lectures? Prabhupada says in his books that all of my disciples, that includes his grand disciples, all of his followers, have to read all of his books. So you have to start doing it. Don't just read lectures. Say, well, I don't have time to read the books, but I watch CNN every night on television or on the internet. Don't cheat. Everybody has the time to read the books. It's just a matter of desire. Read all the books of Srila Prabhupada. Start with the Gita, then go to the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Mahatrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 12 Hymns of Nectar Devotion, teachings of... Gradually work your way through all of the books. That's Prabhupada's instruction. You do have time. You just have to prioritize it. Even 5 or 10 minutes a day will gradually get you through the books. One page a day or 2 pages a day. You'll be surprised. And on the weekend, you can read more. I am very shy and lack communication skills, so I feel I can't do book distribution. Is that okay if I do some other service? Well, you're not shy to ask the question. Prabhupada says everyone must join the book distribution party as soon as possible. So there's your order from Prabhupada. If you're too shy, then go out with someone and they'll show you how to do it. Just become, just go out with someone who's good and just, you know, hold their bead bag for them. I mean, their book bag. Carry their book bag for them and just go out as their assistant and just watch them and listen and see. You see, experience what they're doing and what the magic that happens when you go out on book distribution. It's mystical. The things that happen when you're distributing Prabhupada's books. That's the fastest way to make spiritual advancement, is to distribute Prabhupada's books. I can never forget in the old days, we didn't do book distribution. It was just Harinam. When I joined, Sankirtan meant Harinam Sankirtan. The term Harinam Sankirtan was not used until book distribution became known as Sankirtan. But I remember we were out on a Harinam Sankirtan party in Miami, and we weren't doing book distribution yet. It started in San Francisco. What happened was they were coming back from Harinam Sankirtan one day. They happened to have the Krishna book, that beautiful hardbound Krishna book, and they ran out of gas. So they made a deal with the station attendant. can you give us a tank of gas in exchange for this book? No one. We only thought we could distribute it back to God. It's for 25 cents. That was the whole idea. It was not possible to sell a book on the street. I mean, it was impossible. No one even tried. It was just something you couldn't do. It was an idea, you can't do that. All you can do is sell a magazine for a quarter, and that's it. We used to like hand out a piece of candy, and they give a quarter, and we give them the magazine. You know, that was it. So they came back from Harinam, what was then called Sankirtan, which is now called Harinam Sankirtan. And they actually convinced the station attendant to give them a tank of gas for the Krishna book. And they went, wow, maybe we can sell these things to the public. They went out the next day, and lo and behold, they were selling them. And Prabhupada said, whichever temple sells the most books, I will go and stay at that temple. So you can imagine the Sankirtan fever, like all of a sudden, boom, this book distribution fever became... Within you know, practically instantly, the whole movement became infected with Sankirtan fever.
Eighteen wheelers were going out.
Yeah, the BBT had its own 18-wheeler, one of those big trucks, you know, with 18-wheelers. They had their own truck, regularly going from temple to temple with cases and cases of books. It was huge. And one politician, he was seeing this huge deluge of Krishna consciousness in North America. He said, one politician in Texas, he said, this Hare Krishna movement is becoming so powerful, if something is not done to stop it, it will take over the government. I mean, it was really becoming a powerhouse, a juggernaut. You know the word juggernaut? It means an irresistible force. The Britishers saw Jagannath in Puri, this big, huge cart, you know. So they termed the term juggernaut, an irresistible force. So ISKCON became, when book distribution took off, ISKCON became a juggernaut for Jagannath. I remember we were out on Harinam in Miami. We weren't doing books yet, really, but there was the boys from San Francisco came through. They were the big heroes. They were the Maharatis of ISKCON. The book distribution boys were the Maharatis. And they were on the other side. We watched, we were doing Harinam on this side of the street. They were doing books on the other side of the street. We looked over at them, you know. And they used to go out and they were in Dodi. He was in a Dodi, you know. And he did a Krishna book. And he was jumping in ecstasy. Jumping in ecstasy. He'd sold a Krishna book. And so actually, it's not that hard. You just have to go out with somebody who's expert. Now, I was never really good, but my wife was really good. In Fiji, she was known as the queen of book distribution. So there was a Back to Godhead magazine had... was having difficulty. There wasn't enough subscribers. So Jayadeva Swami came up with a strategy that we will take Back to Godhead magazine out of print and go on a massive worldwide subscription drive and then bring it back to print. So I had a leave of absence from my job, and she and I went out full time, and it was, going with her was incredible. She had an amazing intelligence, and we actually were the top two distributors in that marathon in the whole world. So, just by going out with an expert, you see, I became a little good too. So, find an expert, and go out with the expert, and you'll become expert just by that association. You have to be like, have the innocence of a child. Kick out all of your preconceived ideas of what you can do and what you can't do. A child doesn't have that, you see. A child is open. You have to be and have the innocence of a child and say, okay, whatever Krishna wants. And just go out with an expert, see what they do, carry their books for them or whatever, be their apprentice. to see how they do it, and then give it a try, and you'll be amazed at what happens. Okay. What should we think about chanting the holy names? Actually, just absorb yourself in the vibration. You don't have to think about something. Just absorb yourself in the vibration. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You should think, am I absorbing myself in the sound vibration or not? That's what you should be thinking about. How well am I focusing my mind right now on the sound? Is my mind going here and there? If it is, I got to bring it back. You see, that's what you should think about. How well am I focusing my mind on the sound vibration?
Like a child crying for a mother.
Yes, and you can. Prabhupada explains the chant like a child crying for the mother. You're begging Krishna and Radharani, please engage me in your service. You're calling out to them, begging that they lift you up out of the material world and take them back into the realm of pure bhakti. That's good. Okay. Now, which are the recommended questions? These are the ones that got through the censor board? Okay. All right, we'll focus on these then. I am an initiated devotee and following the principles, and I'm chanting 16 rounds for nearly 5 years now. So now I want to know what is required of me to go to the highest levels of prema, pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna, to Radha Balabha. Shudanam. You have to see what the 10 offenses are and see where you're messing up. See where you're not in accordance with the 10 offenses. See where you're not avoiding them. Work on that. Work on loving relationship with the devotees. Work on a service attitude, being very eager for service, being willing to do whatever is required. In this way, become more learned in the books. Read all of the books. If you haven't done it yet, read all of the books. That will give you a deeper vision of what is proper and what is improper as far as attitude, speech, and activities. So that's something you can do to help yourself. Why is devotee association important? I can chant and read alone at home. Prabhupada explains that actually it's more powerful to hear than it is to read. It's called synergy, actually. When you bring two devotees together, three devotees together, four devotees together, it's the principle of synergy goes into effect. One person has so much devotional energy, another person has so much, so that's one plus one. If they're alone, it's just one person's devotional energy, another person's devotional energy. But you bring them together, then they get the benefit of each other's devotional energy. So it becomes not only two, but it becomes magnified even more by the principle of synergy. If you bring 50 people together to chant Hare Krishna, it's not 50 units of devotional energy, it becomes 5,000 units of devotional energy. So when you come together, it doesn't only arithmetically increase, it geometrically increases the shakti, the bhakti shakti.
The devotees always get together, and really Krishna says in chapter 10, Machita, Madgata, Prana, Bhote, that they come together always and they find more pleasing and more interesting.
Prabhupada Krishna says, Ramanti cha, Tashyanti cha, Ramanti cha. They enjoy like anything when they come together. That's what Krishna's advice to you.
I have personal experience. I'm reading a chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, but when I'm coming with the devotees there, it makes it more relishing.
1,000 times more relishable. Yeah, that's right. So,
that's
a bad. How to have love for Krishna and Prabhupada that you have? How does it evolve over time, or should it be spontaneous? Well, the fact is that whatever, if you associate with people who have love for Krishna and love for Prabhupada, that will rub off on you. By associating physically, that's called vapuseva, serving in the physical presence, and also by the instructions, that's called vani. So by associating physically and by remembering that devotee and serving that devotee and doing what that devotee would like you to do, then the qualities of that devotee, the love for Prabhupada, the love for Krishna that they have, will rub off on you. I meditate on various of my godbrothers and godsisters also. Actually, I've been reading Jamuna's biography, getting great inspiration by seeing how dedicated she was to serving Prabhupada in very trying circumstances. So, actually, by remembering great devotees, serving them, doing, studying their lives, their pastimes, these things actually very much enhance our feelings, our love. See how devoted those devotees were at 26 Second Avenue, how devoted they were in London, how devoted they were in India. Seeing how, in the history of ISKCON, how much the devotees sacrificed for Prabhupada. Everything for his pleasure. Just like the example with Gurudas and his wife Jamuna and a few others. They were on the train enjoying like anything. Now we're traveling with Prabhupada, we're going to Bombay, there's going to be a wonderful pandal in Bombay. It's a wonderful thing. And they came to the train station, Prabhupada said, "Now get down," and he told Gurudas and Jamuna and a few others, "Get down and start a temple. You have 2 minutes." I just out of the blue. Because some man got on the train, he says, I'd like to help you start your movement here in Delhi. Some man came on the train, and as soon as Prabhupada heard, he said, he immediately called them. The train was stopping for like 5 minutes in the Delhi station. They were sitting there enjoying a train ride with Prabhupada across India, all of a sudden get off the train and start a temple. And there was no proper facility for them. They stayed in a place where there were rats. The rats were running. They would light the rats were running over their bodies. It was a horrible austerity they did. But they did it. There was no proper toilet. They had rats running over their bodies. They didn't have beds. They were sleeping on a hard floor with rats. And that's how austere it was. But they did that. When you hear about this, Giri Raj was there, Jamuna, Gurudas. You hear about what these devotees did. How they went to Vrindavan, there's 120 degrees Fahrenheit, whatever that is, centigrade. And the austerities they did, my God, it's so amazing. What they did to help Prabhupada start this movement. So when you read and hear about these devotees and you think, wow, how much they love Prabhupada, to do anything and everything to please him. So this is how you can do it. You see, you hear about these great devotees, how they sacrificed everything for Prabhupada. How do we cultivate humbleness in words and action? Please give us guidance. Well, the thing is the attitude. You see, your words and your actions are simply a manifestation of your attitude. It's not that you can have a puffed up attitude and speak and act humbly. That doesn't work. You have to, within your heart, develop a humble attitude, a mood of appreciation, a mood of service for all the devotees, whether they're more advanced, equally advanced, or less advanced. So if you have that appreciation of all the Vaishnavas, you love the devotees, you want to serve the devotees, then naturally humility will manifest in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Why does Lord Krishna have different names? Prabhupada says, actually, Krishna doesn't have any particular name. But he has names according to his qualities and his activities. Since his qualities are unlimited, his activities are unlimited, his relationships with his devotees are unlimited, he has names according to his qualities, his activities, and his relationships. Just like Yashoda Nandana, you see, the darling son of Mother Yashoda. Because Krishna has unlimited relationships, unlimited activities, and unlimited qualities, therefore he has unlimited names. How to know the difference between dovetailing everything in the service of Krishna and possessing material things? Well, what are you doing with your material things? Are you using them in Krishna's service, or are you using them for sense gratification? That's how you can tell. Should the motive of doing service be pleasure of guru? Yes. Is it a form of attachment? Yes. Attachment is the more important than detachment in Krishna consciousness. As I was explaining earlier, our program is to become more attached, you see, not to become detached. The mind bodies focus on detachment. We focus on attachment. We become more and more attached to Krishna, to Guru, to Vaishnavas like this. Because the more you're attached to the spiritual world and all of its aspects, you're automatically detached from the material world. So just focus on becoming attached. Attached to the Bhagavad Gita, attached to the Bhagavatam, attached to your guru, attached to the devotees, attached to prasadam, that's not a difficult one. Attached to the holy name, attached to the beautiful deities here. Just start to become more and more attached. Focus on becoming attached. And then naturally you'll be detached from the material world. Because you're getting a higher taste. I'm not able to do these spiritual activities due to my studies burden. Well, why aren't you spiritualizing your studies? What is the purpose of your studies? The purpose of your studies should be to earn money for Krishna. You get a better job to earn money for Krishna. To help the movement as much as you possibly can and to maintain a nice Krishna conscious lifestyle for yourself. If that's the goal of your studies, then they won't burden you. What is most important? Is it chanting or hearing? How can you make a difference? We chant and hear simultaneously. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. As a practicing devotee, I am interested in hearing different lectures of Krishna consciousness, and it gives immense pleasure. Is it wrong? No, it's wonderful. You should hear as much as you can. You can hear hundreds of lectures. It's wonderful. And by that quality hearing, that day will come in the future, you will be a powerful preacher. That's how you become a powerful preacher, is by hearing. Qualitative hearing makes you a powerful preacher. So in the future, you hear very well, and eventually you become a powerful preacher. How to remain steady in Krishna consciousness, 24 hours. By loving Krishna, not mechanically, but understanding Krishna is a person. Krishna loves me more than I can even begin to understand. He wants me to reciprocate that love with him. And he's the source of everything. Wonderful. So let me reciprocate with his love and give my love to him. That's how you be steady, by love. Not just by some mechanical thing. Discipline, discipline, discipline. No, love, 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 and the discipline follows automatically.
If there is no love, appreciation.
if there's no love, at least you should appreciate. Yeah. Appreciate what Krishna is doing for you, what the devotees are doing for you, what the spiritual master is doing for you. At least you should appreciate it. So the next one is, how come Krishna and Dharma are not separated? How can Krishna and Dharma not be separated? Well, there's one Dharma, and that's to surrender to Krishna. You have to understand what is actual Dharma. Dharma means be surrendered to Krishna. Krishna says, give up all Dharmas except for one Dharma, that's becoming surrendered to me. So, Krishna Seva is the only real Dharma. So, there's no separation. Dharma, or serving Krishna, is the actual way that you can become liberated from all anxieties.
Dharma is established by Krishna. Dharma to Bhagavad.
Yes, Dharma are the transcendental platform of religion, the actual religion is Dharman hi sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is enunciated by God Himself. In different ashrams, like brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, and sannyasa ashram, what is the duty of a person? To become Krishna conscious. The brahmachari should see every woman as mother. The grihastha should see every woman as mother, except for his wife. And the sannyasa sees every woman as mother. Can you please elaborate on how a person must execute grihastha ashram? See every woman as mother, except for your wife. See her as Devi, Prabhupada said, goddess. She is a Prabhupada said, the wife is addressed Devi, not by the first name. That's, of course, that's the Vedic system. You can see Lord Shiva is calling his wife, didn't call her, didn't say Parvati, he said, Devi, my dear Devi. The wife is called Devi. She's given great respect, called Devi. So the duty is to see that the wife is becoming liberated from the birth and death cycle. The children are also becoming liberated from the birth and death cycle. That is the duty of the husband. He is meant to act as guru for the wife and the children. The wife is meant to act as guru for the children. If she's more Krishna conscious than her husband, then she should act more as guru of her husband also. Sometimes it happens. The wife is more advanced spiritually, and so she should become guru for the husband. It's like sometimes the wife is seriously taken up the process, she's initiated, but the husband is not. So he should take the wife then as my guru, my siksha guru, and follow her advice. That, yes, you should take this process seriously. Get initiated. How do we understand or interpret when our senior devotees or authorities are engaged? Did you hand me this one? This year, this past year censorship board? The gossip one about gossip?
What?
Did this pass your scrutiny? One about gossip? Is ISKCON the only way to go back to Krishna? What about... No, it's not the only way to go back to Krishna. But it's the best way. That's a bit. Prabhupada gives the story of one Muslim. He was being killed by a wild boar. Now, the Muslims, just like we say boga and prasadam, they say halal and haram. You see a Muslim restaurant, halal. This is a halal restaurant, you see. Their version of prasadam, you see. Halal and haram. We say boga and prasadam, halal and haram. So for them, pork is haram, it's condemned food. So he's being killed by a wild boar, and so in great anger he was going, haram! And he died saying, ram! And Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. So it's not the only way. You can be killed by a wild boar and say haram as you're dying and go back to Garudasana. So you could try that. Go to the forest where there's some wild boars. Or you could join the Hare Krishna movement, chant Hare Krishna and take Vishadam. Yeah?
But don't expect to get honorary degree. You have to work.
Yeah, that's right. Now, there is such a thing as an honorary degree. I mean, there's another example, too. Kartikeya Das, Brahmachari's mother, was not a devotee. But she respected the movement. And as she was dying, her son came to her bedside. And the mother said, "Where is your Krishna now?" And she died. Prophet said she went back to Godhead. So, it is possible you could go back to Godhead without being a surrendered ISKCONite. But it's like an honorary degree. You know, they are given periodically, but if you want to get a degree, don't wait around for an honorary degree. Chances are you won't get it. If you want to get a degree, you enroll in the university. You want to go back to Godhead, take advantage of the sampradaya, the Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya, in which Krishna himself has invented a mere 500 years ago, which is practically yesterday, if you consider the duration of time. This and you consider these great Vaishnava acharyas, who are very, very dear to Krishna, have come. Bhakti Siddhanta Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. These are not ordinary acharyas. These are super acharyas. So if you take advantage of this special facility of ISKCON, you're an intelligent person. I listen to lectures and I get the points while listening, but I can't remember what I have heard or read after some time. Then you just have to keep hearing, 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 hearing. It's just like throwing mud against the wall. It falls off, right? But some of it sticks. You just got to keep hearing, 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 hearing. The thing is, the more you hear, the ability to keep it will get better. If you practice the art of... I can give you some tips. Take notes when you go to a lecture. Take notes. It really helps. And taking notes is a very powerful way to improve your power of memory. I used to do that. I remember I was requested to go to San Diego. My wife and I won the marathon for the most BTG subscribers. I was asked to come to San Diego to become the sales manager of Bhakti Godhead magazine. And the San Diego temple was an amazing temple in those days. It was like the epicenter of all of ISKCON in many ways. We had a newspaper called ISKCON World Review was headquartered there. Bhakti Godhead was headquartered there. We had Bhaktivedanta Institute with Sadhaputta was headquartered there. So we had all these... We had ISKCON, the PR department from ISKCON. ISKCON Communications was headquartered in San Diego. It was big. All these, we had many sannyasis there. We had Sadhaputta there with the scientific leg. We had the most amazing lineup of Bhagavatam classes you can imagine. All the big brains of ISKCON were there, and the classes were incredible. So I took notes every day. And then they asked me to give class too. I couldn't believe it. They asked me to give class too. But it was wonderful. I was taking notes every day. I still have those notes. From those notes, I can remember even. Even now, I can remember things I heard 20 years ago. I can remember them because I wrote it down. One example that Sadhaputta Prabhu gave. I remember that. I'll tell you later, some other time, I can tell you that example. Okay, what is the disciplic succession in Bhagavad Gita mentioned connected? Whereas we see there are gaps of several hundred years between the acharyas and not physically present. I'm not aware of. I am aware of a. Of that actually, Vyasadeva is still present. He's still present in the universe. I don't know about all these gaps. Maybe somebody can tell me more. But the Madhvacharya receiving the knowledge from Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was a physical transmission of knowledge between Srila Vyasadeva and Madhvacharya. And that was a few centuries back. So I don't know about these gaps. I'm not aware of the gaps. Maybe I don't know about, but I don't know about these gaps.
That's the main gap.
That's not a gap.
It's not a gap, but it looks like
it. Seems like a gap, yeah. But actually it's not, because Vyasadeva is still living. Srila Vyasadeva is still alive. Okay. You have any suggestions? These are the recommended questions here? Okay. Can you please explain how an initiated devotee can enhance the relation with his spiritual master? Obedience, obedience, obedience with love. Let me always obey my spiritual master. Sometimes devotees argue with their spiritual master. Don't do that. Be submissive to your spiritual master and serve him with love. I've heard that God is only one, irrespective of any religion. Is it true? Yes. There's only one. How many Supreme Courts do you have in Australia? How many Supreme Courts do you have here?
One.
Why? Why don't you have many Supreme Courts? Who can say? Why you don't have many Supreme Courts? I mean, wouldn't it be more liberal to have many Supreme Courts? No, it doesn't work. You can only have one Supreme Court. Supreme Court means the final authority after all the appeals are finished. If you have many Supreme Courts, you don't have, your court system will be imperfect. You can have many subordinate courts, that's okay. But you can only have one Supreme Court. So in the same way, it can only be one Supreme Being. If there's many Supreme Beings, it's atheism. You don't have a Supreme Being. Is it okay to listen to Vaishnava lectures from pure devotees of other sampradayas? Why aren't you listening to the lectures from this sampradaya? That'd be my question. Why are you not? Have you read all? I would ask you this: have you read all of Prabhupada's books? No, you haven't. I can tell you, you haven't read them. So why are you running here and there? Why don't you tune in to Srila Prabhupada, who's the most empowered acharya? Prabhupada is the one acharya who was empowered to deliver the whole world. Even Lord Chaitanya did not do that physically. Of course, spiritually he's doing it through his descendants. But even he did not preach outside of India. Srila Prabhupada is the one acharya who is empowered to flood the whole planet with Vaishnavism. Why are you running somewhere else? This is stupid. It's plain stupid. You should go deeper and deeper into this greatest acharya. That's intelligence. You should master the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. We appreciate other even Christians, I appreciate them also. I can appreciate Muslims. Prabhupada appreciated the Muslims also. When he was in Tehran, he appreciated their five times, praying five times a day. He liked that. Yeah, that was nice. We have nothing against. We appreciate the devotion that is shown by Christians, by Muslims, by Jews. When I... I used to do a travel agency when I was supported our center some years back, and for my business I had to go to Israel. So I went to the wall where all the Jews go and pray, and I appreciated the devotion, the Muda devotion, you see. So we have nothing against, but the thing is, as far as our studies and actually moving forward, you'll find the greatest depth of realization, the greatest depth of powerful, profound guidance, which will take you to the topmost level of perfection. Why are you going elsewhere, you see? I can't understand why you want to go elsewhere. It doesn't make sense. There is a fear while surrendering to my spiritual master. Is it natural and how to overcome it? No, it's unnatural. It's a very unnatural thing to be afraid of your spiritual master or of Krishna. You have to understand this is something unnatural. It's not my real nature. My nature is to have complete faith in Guru and Krishna. So this tendency to be afraid of Guru and Krishna is an unnatural state and has to be overcome. So how to overcome it? By obedience. Give your spiritual master the benefit of the doubt. And follow his instructions. And you'll experience profound awakening of your inner self. What do we do when husband and wife are of different frequency in Krishna consciousness? Whoever is most advanced, that person should lead. If the wife is more advanced, the husband should follow the wife. If the husband is more advanced, the wife should follow the husband. Whoever is on the higher frequency, that's to be the standard for the family, not the lower frequency. What should we say to Christians who say Jesus is the only way? Say, yes, I agree with you completely. And they denounce Krishna. Say, you don't understand Krishna. Actually, the word Christ, it comes from the word Krishna. You don't understand Krishna. Jesus is the only way, but you are not. You are not. You don't understand Jesus. If you denounce Krishna, you do not understand Jesus. So you learn to become a real Christian and then you'll talk. Are there any consequences if a vow is taken and not fulfilled against the fulfillment of a certain desire? Why would you take a vow for anything other than pure bhakti? That's my question. We have one vow and one vow only, and that is, I fully surrender unto you. That is initiation vow. Of course, marriage vow is there in Krishna's service. That is also vow. So, if you don't fulfill your vow to your spiritual master, your whereabouts are unknown. You're lost in the material world. If you don't fulfill your marriage vow, you're an animal. So, if you're married, you have to be loyal to your wife or your husband. And if you're a disciple, you have to be loyal to your spiritual master.
Well, can I ask a question?
Sure. Sure.
So that one of the spouse, once we eat meat, they have to follow the vow still.
One of the spouses wants to. I already said whoever is more advanced should lead the way.
About the following the vows.
The vow of marriage is in Krishna conscious marriage, we vow to serve each other as husband and wife in the service of Krishna. Yeah. What's this vow that has? What does meat have to do with the vow? Huh?
Like you said about the marriage vow, they should follow the marriage vow.
The marriage vow for a devotee doesn't mean if my husband wants to eat meat that I have to serve him meat. Doesn't mean that. Not at all. Prabhupada said a wife doesn't have to follow a Krishna husband who's not Krishna conscious. He states it directly in his books. Krishna consciousness overrides the the marriage vows can be are overridden by Krishna conscious vows. Those take precedence. If the marriage, the husband goes against Krishna consciousness, the wife has no obligation whatsoever to follow him. None whatsoever. Krishna consciousness is the ultimate vow that overrides everything else. How can we say maintaining our health is something to benefit a devotional service rather than feeling it is something materialistic? Well, do you think that body is you? If you do, then taking care of your health is materialistic. Do you see that body as the property of Krishna to be used in his service? If you do, then taking care of your health is spiritual. So what is your vision of your body? Is it you or is it Krishna's property to be used in his service? If you have the proper vision, then taking care of your health is part of your devotional service. How can we ensure that we continue in bhakti throughout our whole life, particularly for young new devotees? Get initiated and be completely sold out to your spiritual master. What is the importance of Mangal Arati? By attending Mangal Arati, you will have an auspicious day. By missing Mangal Arati, you're going to have difficulty in your day. So if you're not living in the temple, you're not near the temple, you should have Mangal Arati at home. You should take at least a stick of incense and a flower and offer an Arati to Prabhupada and to Radha Krishna and to photographs Radha Krishna, the Panchatattva or Gurnatai. You should offer an Arati. And we have our song, we post it every morning, Gravastakam prayers. Sing the Gravastakam prayers. If you can't come to the temple, to do a little arti at home in your apartment or your house. You'll have an auspicious day. I've been going to Mangal Arti for 44 years, and it's wonderful. Every day. And as I told the story, I guess last night, when I got married, the policy was all of the Gargrasas have to get jobs. So that was the order from the temple president. If you get married, you have to get a job. So I went out and get a job as a computer person. My first job was to babysit this mainframe that was running these incredibly intense programs. And it was from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. So where's Mangal Arati? Oh, no. But I had this intense desire that I have to go to Mangal Arati, and Krishna reciprocated with it. The boss said, you know, nobody likes this night shift, so we don't mind if you take an hour and a half for lunch, it's okay. So there was Mangal Arati. I would take off at 4 a.m. from from Chilton Corporation. I'd drive over to the apartment, Shadow Lake apartment, pick up my wife, drive to the temple, and then at 4:30, I would get back. I would leave her at the morning program, and at 4:30, at 5 o'clock, I would drive back to the Chilton Corporation for the second half of my shift. So does this mean we have to stop now? We do a few more. Shishi Gornitai Kijay, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Kijay. Guess we can do a few more. I follow ISKCON principles, but I also have great devotion to a sage in the Madhvacharya succession is a Siksha Guru. That's okay. There's no harm. We appreciate saints wherever they are. It's like I appreciate Jesus. He's a Siksha Guru for me. I like to hear lectures, but getting a book to read is a challenge for me. I mean, you know, just go to the bookstore. It's not that difficult. To get the book is easy. It's very simple. You just make a program that I'm going to read every day. You put a little bookmark and just start reading. Once you get into it, you get a taste. All you do, pick up the book and start reading a few pages until you need. You go back to your normal routine. Put a bookmarker in the book. You just start doing it and you'll get a taste for it. You become attached to it. After a few days of doing it mechanically, you become attached to it and you'll never want to give it up. Let's see here. Are these all... We have more questions coming in. Let's see. How to get over personal differences and focus on Krishna consciousness? Well, personal differences are natural because I'm a person and you're a person. Differences proves that we're people. We're persons. Persons always have differences. That's why they're persons. If there were no differences, we wouldn't be persons. So you have to understand the principle called diversity in unity, or unity in diversity. We have our differences, sure, we're always going to have differences. But we have to see what is the same also. We should celebrate the same and also appreciate the differences too. It makes life interesting when there's differences. So it's not really a problem as long as you have the unifying principle of pleasing Krishna and Guru. How as a school student, can I give Krishna to others? Well, Prahlad used to use the lunch break for preaching. He would take advantage of the lunch break, tell his fellow students about Krishna. Okay, let's see here. How do I develop a taste for chanting? My chanting is very mechanical. Pray, my dear Lord Krishna, please bless me that I can develop a taste for your name. And I recommend very much the first verse of this song by Bhaktivinoda. Kambe habe bolo sedinamar. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Aparada guchi, shudaname ruchi, kripa bole habe hridoye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kave habe bolo sedinamar. When, oh, when will that day be mine? That prayer will really help you. It's in the songbook. Look it up in our Vaishnava songbook, the song by Bhaktivinoda. He's praying. He's hankering. When will that day come when I get a taste for the name, when I give up all my offenses? So if you hanker like that, Krishna will give you special mercy. What is the best way to serve Vaishnavas? Always make them happy. Always try to please them by your attitude, by your speech, by everything you do. Try to always please them. What are the activities the soul performs in Goloka Vrindavan? Read the Krishna book and you'll see. They do so many things. They talk about Krishna. They sing about Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. They're just mad after Krishna. Did you know what Krishna did today? I was with Krishna and Krishna did this, Krishna did that, Krishna said this. Everything is Krishna, 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 Krishna. They're mad about Krishna. Totally absorbed in him, even though they don't even know that he's God. They just love him like anything. Everyone's trying to serve him and please him in all ways. That is the spiritual world. In bhakti, rewards and result are not visible or tangible. That's not true. They're very tangible and visible. Whereas in the material activities, the results are tangible. So how to get motivated if I am motivated by the results. Well, you have to learn to see the results. A little kid, he's thinking, well, I want to grow up. I want to become big, but I don't see that I'm growing up. But Aunt Sally has been away for a year, and she goes, oh, you've grown so much. See, he couldn't see how he was growing, but somebody was away for some time. They can see, oh, you've grown so much. You see? So you may not see how you're growing in Krishna consciousness. But if you think back, really, of how you were previously, you'll see that you are very, very nice advanced. If you're steadily chanting your rounds and following these principles, you are advancing. And I know if I look back, it's a world, complete world of difference between where I was in 1971 and where I am now. Absolutely. It's like night and day, the difference. Huh?
When one takes up Krishna consciousness, they give up all the sinful activity. That is tangible.
It's tangible to give up your sinful activities. I gave up, whatever you gave up, it's a tangible thing. And if you don't see that you're making any advancement, then you have to intensify your practice. Bhakti pareshana vibhava raktir anyatta chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadya manashri yatashtana shushtushti pushichadabhayo nagasam, described in the Bhagavatam. Devotion, direct experience of Krishna, and detachment from material sense gratification occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as satisfaction, nourishment, and eradication of hunger take place simultaneously and increasingly with each bite by one who is engaged in the activities of eating. So just as when you eat, you get nourished, you get satisfied, and your hunger is diminished. In the same way, if you're practicing Krishna consciousness properly, you will have the feelings of love will gradually awaken within your heart. Love for Krishna, love for Guru, love for devotees, love for the holy name, love for the deities, love for Tulsi Devi. This love feeling will come. And you'll become more and more aware of Krishna everywhere, in the temple, on the street. Everywhere you go, you become more conscious of how Krishna is present there. And you become disinterested in material sense gratification. So if you don't see these things happening in yourself, you're doing something wrong. Talk to an advanced devotee and find out, why am I not feeling bhakti pireshvanu varovaraktir? Why am I losing my attraction for the material energy? Why am I not becoming more aware of Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna? You see? If you don't feel you're advancing, you're doing something wrong. You should feel you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. And if you're not, you're doing something wrong. Talk to a senior devotee. Find out what your defects are. Is it ever too early to take initiation of a spiritual master? Well, it's interesting. Actually, the Shastric injunction is, as soon as you find a guru, you should take initiation immediately. That's the Shastric injunction. But it also is stated that you should study the guru for 6 months to make sure he's really bona fide. So that's what the scripture says, immediately and 6 months. Now, within our ISKCON, just to make sure that we don't get unqualified people who take it and then give it up, the authorities may ask you to wait a little longer. Because we don't want people, in the beginning, Prabhupada is very liberal, you could get initiated on the spot. A guest who just came to the temple said, would you like to get initiated today? Sure. And they'd take initiation. They said, what does it mean? They'd ask after the ceremony. You see? I'm serious. In the beginning, it was like that. You could just come in. Hey, you want to get initiated? Sure. Sit down and But, you know, that was to get the movement started. But then after, then Prabhupada had to raise the standard. That was to get things rolling in the very beginning. And, of course, that was the hippie movement days, and they were willing to try anything, and they tried everything else. Sure, let me try and get initiated and see what it's like. I mean, the hippies were open to experimenting with anything. They were, like, detached from, you know, the regular society. They can try anything. That's cool. Let me try it. But, you know, then Prabhupada raised the standard and made it a more serious thing. You have to wait, you have to follow the principles for 6 months. It became a strict rule. When I joined, I had been practicing for 5 months, the rules and regulations and chanting, but I couldn't get initiated. Even though they were initiating so many devotees, I wasn't allowed to sit in the yajna because I'd only been chanting for 5 months. So it became a strict rule by the time I joined. 6 months was the rule. Now it's a year, 6 months for shelter minimum, and then 6 months of shelter. That's the new rule to make it easy.
Prabhupada said, don't keep adding the milk, make it sweet and thicker.
Don't boil the milk to make it thick and sweet. Don't keep adding more and more milk. So Prabhupada at one point he said, the most important thing now is to properly train the devotees we have instead of keep adding more and more and more and more devotees. And this is, so the most important thing, more important than making devotees, is the devotees we have now have to be properly trained. That doesn't mean we don't make new devotees, but we have to understand that it's more important to properly train the devotees we have now than it is to bring more and more people in. If devotees we have now are not properly trained, what are we doing bringing more people in? There'd be more people that are not properly trained. Doesn't make any sense. We have to properly train the devotees we have now. That's the number one thing. So, if one is eager to take initiation as soon as possible, that is bona fide according to Prabhupada's books. He quotes a verse that one should take initiation immediately. It's right there in Prabhupada's book. But immediately with a few conditions, you know. After going meeting, studying the guru to make sure he's bona fide, convincing your authorities that you're legitimate by showing your cooperation, you know, with the working as a member of the family, you know, there are certain conditions on that. But the mood is get initiated as soon as possible. That's the mood. Because that's the initiation is required to get so properly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So if you want to get out of the material world, you should be very eager to be initiated. My godbrother Dhananjaya, the first class he attended, hearing Prabhupada's lecture, he raised his hand, and Prabhupada said, okay, but any questions? He said, yeah, and he raised his hand. His question was, how soon can I get initiated? That was his question. First question he had. Okay. Can you describe the Aryan race and its place in Krishna consciousness? It's not an Aryan race. It's not some physical thing. It's not an Aryan race. It's not based on the skin. The Aryans means those who are twice born, those who have taken Vaishnava culture. They're the Aryans. The twice-born, those who have seriously taken Krishna. You can be black, white, yellow, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It's not a racial thing. It's a change of consciousness. I am here in Melbourne for the last 6 months. I'm trying to find a job, but unable to get that. Apart from that, I have a lot of study pressure as well as live very far from the temple. Then how can we do Krishna consciousness in the condition? It seems really tough. You have to make your home into an ashram. That's all. Turn your home into an ashram. When I first started Krishna consciousness, there was no temple at all in the city. There wasn't any temple within 1,000 miles. But I made my apartment into an ashram. The whole thing was centered around the altar. And that was my pastime when I would come home from work. I would turn off the lights and put a candle and some incense and I would chant Hare Krishna and meditate on Radha and Krishna. So you just have to tune in to Krishna and you'll be okay wherever you are. Anything more? How do we preach to our Muslim friends? Well, it depends on their mentality. If they're receptive, tell them everything. If they're not, tell them a little bit, whatever they can appreciate. It really depends. I mean, I have a Muslim student right now, and it must become my disciple. He's a Muslim. So, when I was in Istanbul, I met with a whole hall full of Muslims. I had them all chanting Hare Krishna. They were chanting, and you should see the video. It would melt your heart to see these Muslims. They were like, they had never experienced anything so wonderful in their lives. They were just, they were in rapture. These Muslims, a whole hall full of Muslims. It would make you cry just to see how they were relishing the holy names. So it depends on the mentality. How does one realize the original position of Siddha Deha? By revelation from the Guru and the Super Soul? No. Not the Guru says, okay, now here's your Siddha Deha. I revealed it to you. No. Not at this stage. At a certain stage, yes, but not at this stage. At this stage, you have to just realize I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and I have to fully absorb myself in pure devotion to Krishna by serving my spiritual master with complete, total dedication. By doing that, you'll gradually progress through the various stages. When finally you reach the stage of absolute pure bhakti, the beginning that is called a sakti, you're totally attached to Krishna. At that stage, it will be revealed to you what is your actual spiritual form. But not before that. Don't try to jump prematurely. The Guru Dev, please tell me my Siddha Deha. That if a guru tells you he's a bogus guru, he's a cheater. The real spiritual master will simply train you how to be totally sold out servant of Guru and Krishna, because that's the only way you can actually realize your spiritual identity. Thank you. You can pass it around now. Okay. What stage should one take vanaprastha? Well, according to the Vedic system, one practices brahmachari to the age of 25, and then from 25 to 50, he practices grihastha, and then at the age of 50, he becomes a vanaprastha, and then after that, he becomes a sannyasi. So that's the traditional system. So, obviously, I mean, ideal, in the modern day context, it means you have a situation, you're not having children anymore, obviously. You're celibate, you're now a brahmachari, that's the first thing. And to be a full-fledged vanaprastha life, you're not working a job anymore, you're just engaged in devotional service. You're retired from working. So, obviously you have to have some financial resources to do that, or some situation where you don't require money anymore, to earn money anymore. So it's wise to set aside something in the beginning, so you can retire as early as possible. How to always remember Krishna when there are troubles, especially the mind and senses? Well, remembering Krishna is a natural thing to do. If you're Krishna conscious, when there are difficulties, that will help you to become more Krishna conscious. How to free ourselves from sinful activities by engaging in devotional service 24 hours a day. Is it okay for the husband and wife to have different spiritual masters? Yes, it is. It's okay, because we're all individuals. But it's very convenient to have the same spiritual master also. It helps. It's very helpful to make that marriage harmonious. But it's not required.
it's a matter of...
Huh?
It's a matter of the husband and wife. That means two Vyasa Pujas, they have to cooperate. Otherwise, it's like...
Yeah, they each want to go to their Guru's Vyasa Puja. One is having it in one place, another place. It's just very practical. They both have the same Guru. They can go together to their Guru's Vyasa Puja. What if the Vyasa Puja is about the same time? One has to travel to this place, and you know, it's very convenient. Although it's not required, it's very convenient and practical.
And, if there is the same spiritual master, if there is a conflict between husband and wife, it's easy to resolve also.
That's right. If they're both taking advice, their guidance from the same place, it makes it easier to resolve conflicts. That is practicalities. It's not required, but I know sometimes they do that. There was one, a boy and girl in Lithuania. The girl was hankering, decided to be my disciple, and the husband had somebody else in mind, but he decided, well, I'll just switch and go with her choice because it'll make our marriage easier. So he decided to... He hadn't taken... Diksha. I don't think he had taken formal shelter yet either. You can even, but actually even formal shelter is not an obligation. You can change your shelter if you want. As Jai Pataka Swami said upstairs, and when Yogi said, even right to the last minute before the Yogi, you can change your mind. That's what he told all the devotees, I remember. So you're not, there's no obligation until you actually sit down in the Yogi, then you, that's it. There's no backing out. But it is very practical to have the same guru, but it's not required. I have some disciples who have the same guru. I have some who are not, and both are okay.
Generally not.
Huh?
Generally, those who have different spiritual masters conflict, because there's a conflict.
My wife is observing that generally it's better to have the same guru from her experience of seeing things. Okay, so reading through Srila Prabhupada's books, devotees' lives, I feel even this one life is not enough to even attempt it. To thank the great mercy they have showered upon me, such a rascal I am, is it still my own material desire to dedicate life after life, spreading Krishna consciousness in the material creation, or should I just leave everything in the hands of you, Srila Gurudev and Krishna? Thank you for saving me. So, should you think I want to stay in the material world, birth after birth, and preach? Is that a material desire, or should I go back to Godhead as soon as possible? Actually, you should just put it in the hands of Krishna. My dear Lord, whatever you want to do with me, I'm yours. You want me to take birth after birth to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission? That's all right. If you want me to come to Goloka Vrindavan to make flower garlands for Radharani, whatever you want, I'm ready to do anything. Actually, it's possible to do both at the same time. It's an interesting point. Prahlad Maharaj is described as in both the spiritual and material world simultaneously. So one could stay in the material world as a preacher and also go back to Goloka and be an intimate associate of the Lord simultaneously. And you can even be in two different pastimes simultaneously. You can be in Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela simultaneously in two different forms. Maybe that blew your mind a little bit, but that's possible. You can, just like Rupa Goswami, he's a gopi in Krishna Leela and a sannyasi in Chaitanya Leela, both at the same time. Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami at the same time. So, just be a completely sold-out servant of Guru and Krishna, and and look forward to an amazing, unlimitedly amazing future that's going to get more and more amazing with every minute. You see, I think we're going a little late. It's 9:30, and finish these questions. This finishes with the last question. Okay. Why did Krishna create the body with flesh and bones when it is material, whereas the soul is, it is mortal, whereas the soul is immortal? Why do we have these mortal bodies when the soul is immortal? Why does the government build prisons? Do they want you to be an inmate in your prison? No, they don't want you to be an inmate in your prison. But they know some people will choose to disobey the law, so we have to provide something for them. So Krishna knows, well, actually Krishna was necessitated by our desire to enjoy separately, to give us a place where we could try to enjoy according to our desire. And believe it or not, we wanted this stupid thing. It was our desire to have such a stupid thing as a material body. So we wanted it, Krishna gave it to us. So now it's time to wise up and get back to our original positions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Jai.